relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very proud to introduce our guest host for today, Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Dr. G, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Usually here has been out the last couple of days, taking some time off. He'll be back next week, next year. Yes, if we're being cheesy radio people. I'm Jennifer Horn on loan from Salem Radio in Los Angeles, host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show, heard on AM 870, The Answer, AM 590, The Answer throughout Southern California. Want to remind you to follow Seb. He has been tweeting away, because he never really truly takes any time off. At Seb Gorka is where you can find him. You can also check out SebGorka.com. And please check us out on YouTube as well. Constantly streaming lots of great content when you join our YouTube channel. You can always follow me as well at Jennifer Horn on Twitter, Parler, Facebook, Instagram, all of those places. Now, normally at this time, it's kind of weird. I feel like I'm in sort of like a weird time warp alternate universe. Usually, Wednesdays at this time, that's when Dr. G welcomes me into the show for the California Crazy Report. But since I'm in for Dr. G, I needed to find someone to do the California Crazy Report with me. And there is no better person who has his finger on the pulse of California, California politics. But my partner, my radio husband from Southern California, Don Dix, joins us right now. He hosts the Jen and Don Show with me. He has actually even been co-hosting The Morning Answer because I'm sort of on vacation. Hi, Don. Welcome to America First.
Some vacation.
I know. Well, it's been fun. You can follow Don, by the way, on Twitter at RealDonDix is the place to find him. And of course, you can check out our station website as well, am590theanswer.com. Yes, sir.
I like what you've done with the place since Seth's been gone.
You know, there's a lot more pink, some lace, a few sequins. I just had to girl it up in here a little bit, but the lava lamp is still, I have not touched it. I have not touched any of the memorabilia. All of that stays the same. You know, we're both 80s junkies, so that stays.
All right, so
thank you. All right, so Don, let's talk about the recall effort for Gavin Newsom, because people say in California, why are you so crazy? Why do you stay? Well, I'm staying because, and I know you're staying too, because we want to fight and we want to have common sense. Forget Republicans and Democrats. We want common sense to come back to California, because here is the warning. As goes California, so goes the rest of the country. You're now seeing, we Californied you during this 2020 election. You're seeing the problems California has with our local elections rolled out nationally with this presidential election. And so it's important that we stay and we fight for the soul of California and for the people who live here. Gavin Newsom has not been, at least in my opinion, doing that. He has had a challenging year. We all have with the COVID-19 pandemic. But this new recall effort, Recall Gavin 2020, is really starting to pick up steam, Don.
Well, it is. And, you know, California has a love affair with recalling sitting governors. We've done it. We've tried to do it 55 times since 1911. This particular governor was the focus of two recalls earlier in 2020 that fell short of the 1,495,000 signatures that you've got to gather. But interestingly, when you compare this to what other states around the country face if they want to recall their governor, they need twice as many signatures as a percentage. and they have half as much time. So whereas you got 6 months in California, most states have 3 months. Just a little interesting background about recall in general. But yeah, we've got a special case on our hands. You know, from between his response to the COVID pandemic, tax increases, which California is now the highest tax state in the country, on six different taxation types. The homelessness, of course, you know, he said when he was mayor of San Francisco in 2004 that he would end homelessness by 2014, and it actually went up. We have sanctuary city policies that protect illegal aliens. He suspended the death penalty, rationed water, rationed electricity. He's restricted parental rights. But, Jennifer, between you and I, I think the biggest reason to recall Governor Newsom is what he said during a press conference when a Bloomberg News reporter asked him if he saw the potential, as some others in the Democrat Party do, for a new progressive era, if you want to call it that, the reporter asked, in national politics and policy, and whether there's the opportunity for additional progressive steps. And after a sort of a long, meandering response, it culminated in, yes, he admitted that, yes, absolutely, we see this as an opportunity to reshape the way we do business and how we govern.
If the COVID reset.
Yeah, exactly. Governor Newsom is a student, if you will, of the World Economic Forum that was established by Klaus Schwab, who wrote a book called COVID-19, The Global Reset. So they're all singing out of the same hymnal. They all see COVID as an opportunity. It was a trigger, and they've been waiting for this opportunity to re-establish their vision of what the world should look like, how economies should run. And all of that means knocking down America a bunch of notches. So, yeah, great reason. All those reasons reasons to recall Governor Newsom.
And I'll actually add one to your list on, and that is that people are leaving the state. The net migration into California is down. I mean, we used to have more people coming into the state than going out. Now the opposite is true. And those people are in the middle class. So what you're left with in California is really this model of socialism where we've seen it develop in places like Venezuela, where the very rich and the very poor remain and the middle class is kind of aced out. And so I think that's one of the other things that we have to put on this list. Now, reality plays a role here, and there have been other recall efforts against Gavin Newsom before. Right now, they're already up to almost a million signatures in this effort, and some news coming out today is that they received about $500,000 in donations into this Recall Gavin 2020 effort, which is meaningful money. They're still fundraising. They're still collecting signatures. The deadline is till March, and they have to be at about 1.5 million signatures, probably better. You know how the Secretary of State will be, our new Secretary of State,
right,
throwing out signatures. So they probably need close to 2 million signatures to make this thing fly and actually find its way to a ballot. But this is all momentum in their direction. And even Gavin Newsom's people seem worried about it.
Well, there are five reasons why this Newsom recall event should not be dismissed. And it's going to send, if they can gather the signatures that you've mentioned, and one of the things they're doing differently here this time is every signature that is gathered is pre-screened before it's sent off to the county registrar of voters that voter is registered in. So they're pre-screening the signatures to make sure that they match up so that they know as they send these signatures in that they've got good, what they call wet ink signatures that will fly. So, but you're right. 1,500,000 probably should move towards 1.8 to 2 million. So there's a lot of reasons you should be concerned, and we'll get to the most important last. The first is the GOP establishment is finally backing this. They've got the support of the California GOP House Caucus, according to Devin Nunes, who said as much in an interview a couple weeks ago. They've got a brand new fundraising division headed up by Ann Dunsmore. Now, she helped reelect Mike Garcia in California's 25th congressional district. She's a veteran fundraiser. The bar is very low because California governor faces one of the easiest recalls in the country.
That's because the bars are closed in California.
Well, they are. We're going to open them back up for the new year, though, for New Year's. The pandemic is not going away. And so one of the things that's happened is that the recall effort that was launched on June the 10th had 6 months up until December the 10th. But a judge on November 6th gave the recall effort a three-month extension because of COVID. So they extended it 120 days up till March 17th. So now they're sitting with an additional $500,000 from this organization called Proverbs 3-9. And by the way, I looked up Proverbs 3-9.
And it is.
And Proverbs, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with first fruits from all your crops.
So, well, that's interesting because one of the biggest enemies that Gavin Newsom has made is the faith-based community in California because of what seems to be very arbitrary shutdowns of the churches because of COVID-19. We've got about a minute left here, Don. So what are some of those other reasons? And if you want, we can hold you over because I have more to talk to you about. But some of those other reasons that Gavin should be worried.
Well, I think by and large, his response to the pandemic is animating this because it's a higher level, it's a next level of hypocrisy for a governor to say, you can't go out, you can't dine, don't associate with more than three households, wear masks all the time, only to be...
Don, hang on the line because we're up against a break, but we're going to come back with more. Real Don Dix doing the California Crazy Report. In for me, I'm in for Seb Gorka. This is America First.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
I don't know how they say that. We all agree with America First, and welcome back. Because it is America First. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Now, usually at this time of the week, in this exact segment, usually I would be here doing the California Crazy Report with Seb. But since I'm hosting and filling in for him, well, I went to get the next, well, I won't say the next best guy because that's rude. But I bring in my co-host, my radio husband, Don Dix from Southern California AM 590 The Answer, co-host of the Jen and Don Show. You can follow him on Twitter at Real Don Dix. And Don, before the break, we were talking about the recall effort against California's Governor Gavin Newsom. Now, we both live in Southern California. The governor has announced as of yesterday that we would be shut down for another couple of weeks. And this is not going away anytime soon. It is not just COVID, however. California is highly taxed. People are leaving the state in droves. It's very difficult to run a business here. And this is all leading people to create a new effort to recall the governor. Tucker Carlson, in fact, I'm not sure if you saw this, wrote a piece for Fox News that was called The Slow, Painful Death of California, the policies that destroyed America's largest and most economically important state are heading your way, talking about why it is critical to pay attention to this crumbling of California and this recall of Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, no, I did see that piece. In fact, it was based on a segment that he did called The Crashing of California. And, you know, he talked about the things that we know all too well. I mean, you know, the financial meltdown that's happening in our state's pension fund. A lot of states around the country are dealing with the shortfall in the pension fund. Ours happens to be a tsunami of underfundedness, pretty much close to $1 trillion of unfunded pension liability and welfare benefits promised to public employees. But, you know, in terms of Gavin Newsom being the target of this particular recall, it is a sort of a something the rest of the nation has to pay attention to because the California-ing of the rest of the country is a very real thing. We'll talk in a moment about another thing that the rest of the country needs to watch out for. But in terms of what's going to happen here, you know, Gavin Newsom is potentially going to be recalled. There was recently this $500,000 that was put into the recall campaign. Statewide efforts like this take a lot of money, but in California, it requires a mega amount of money.
Yeah.
Elisa had put $2 million towards the recall of Gray Davis, and that was back more than a decade ago. So comparatively, this $500,000 is paltry, but it is going to help move things along and encourage other people, to other big dollar donors, because they're always looking for a return on investment. They don't want to be left holding the bag, if you will. And the fact that there's been confidence voted with the entrance of a new fundraising effort and signature gathering effort by another group, I think this thing's going to go. And on March 17th, Gavin Newsom, we can say goodbye to him, and then the process begins to elect a new governor.
But who's next is the question. This is more about making a statement about what's not acceptable than it is assuming that there's going to be someone better down the road. Usually I'm an optimist, but
right.
The bench for Republicans is not all that deep. And it's fair to say that it'll probably be another Democrat who takes office. And if that's true, I don't know if it's going to be a whole lot better than what we have now, but at least it sends a message. Now, I don't want to run out of time with you before we talk about the district attorney in Los Angeles, newly elected. His name is George Gascón. He is one of maybe the most liberal elected officials in California. And I have to tell you, that's saying a lot. And when he took his oath of office a few weeks ago, immediately 800 deputy district attorneys all gathered together to try to push back against some of really this manifesto of things that George Gascón brought to office with him. He rolled it out on his first day in office. They're removing special charges. They basically prevent police from arresting anybody. You can't even resist arrest. That's not a thing that they will charge you for anymore in Los Angeles. You can drive without an expired license. They're not giving special circumstances to crimes committed by gang members. The list goes on and on and on. But this is not only outraged victims groups within the county of Los Angeles, but this has also outraged deputy district attorneys. And now a judge in Los Angeles has actually joined the fight. He's seeking a restraining order. Get this, a restraining order against George Gascón, who was literally, he's been in business, I think, in Los Angeles, what, for 3 weeks now, 4 weeks?
Right. You know, and it's another cautionary tale from California, because Gascón was the DA for San Francisco. He was replaced by Chase Bodine, another George Soros plant, where George Soros goes around the country looking for these district attorney's offices where he can contribute money to get his far left criminal justice reform DAs elected. So another cautionary tale for the rest of the country, since this is a national audience, pay attention to who gets the money from George Soros in your state, in your county and city offices, because you do not want a Gascón. And the replacement, by the way, for Gascón up in San Francisco, Chase Bodine, was the son of the two people that were terrorists for the Weather
That's
Underground,
right.
Was raised by Bill Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. And now Gascón's moved down here. But yeah, I mean, can you imagine a district attorney actually getting a restraining order to, you know, dial back his recalibration of the criminal justice system? Not only is California suffering under Prop 47, 57, 80, 109, which are all criminal justice reform policies that made shoplifting almost almost not even a crime. All the way up to some of the things that, you know, you mentioned, where you've got these heinous crimes that are not going to receive these sentences. And there's actually a case right now where the individual gang member and the family is speaking out that this gang member is not going to get is basically going to get a sweetheart deal. He almost got away with giving an accused gang member a 7-year sweetheart plea deal. And this person was accused of murdering individuals. So here's a guy at the root of all this, Jennifer. These people believe that the community has a responsibility for these individuals' life of crime, that it's not them that's 100% responsible. It's the community. It's the circumstances they grow up in. And they shouldn't have to pay the full price for the crimes they commit. And you tell that to a victim.
No, I know. And that's why victims' rights groups are livid. I mean, he was interrupted, and I think we even spoke about it here on America First. He was interrupted by shouting from a woman who turned out to be a victim's mother. And he called her uneducated and said she didn't know how to keep her mouth shut. I mean, this is not just a law. This is not just an office. This is an ideology that is being spun.
Yep.
All right, Don Dixon.
George Gascon is the poster child for it.
My radio husband from Salem Radio in Los Angeles, co-host of the Jen and Don Show on AM 590, The Answer. Thanks so much for being with us, doing all the California crazy stuff. Excellent work.
Great hanging out with you. I love what you've done with the place, like I said.
Thanks. We'll see if we can keep some of the sparkles. At Real Don Dix is where you can follow him on Twitter. Jennifer Horn in for Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is marking its season of hope, and they need your help. The foundation is honoring America's heroes by donating 36 homes in 36 days. That's one home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. Tunnel to Towers is gifting homes in more than two dozen states across our nation. They're bringing hope to great Americans, our catastrophically injured veterans, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families. The foundation is giving thanks to all of those who have sacrificed so much for us and to the many people like you across this country who have supported their efforts to honor our nation's heroes. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Help bring hope to America's heroes and their families. Thank you.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Thanks for joining us on America First. Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. And happy New Year to all of you. Let us be the first to say happy New Year's Eve here on America First from all of us. We wish you a really healthy, happy, prosperous 2021. Joining us right now is Joel Pollack. You know him. He is, of course, the guy. I don't want to say he's the guy behind Breitbart, but certainly he is the senior editor at large. You read him all the time at Breitbart.com. And of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Joel Pollack. He's also the author of a brand new book available right now. It's called Neither Free Nor Fair, the 2020 U.S. Presidential Election. Joel Pollack, welcome to America First. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you have this book out that I'm guessing was done quickly because you have followed the campaigns of not only the Democrats running for the 2020 presidential election. You've been following President Trump. You followed him back in 2016 and wrote about it. Your newest book, Neither Free Nor Fair, the 2020 U.S. presidential election, talks about what, to what capacity, to what extent do you think the 2020 presidential election was stolen, Joel Pollack? And do you think it was stolen?
Well, I think you could say it was stolen legally. That is, it was
a legal stealing. Okay.
Yes, legal theft. It was twisted and distorted in ways that are unfair and in ways that in previous years might have been illegal. And also in ways that if the government did it, would certainly have been unconstitutional. I'm thinking of things like the censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop story and all of that. If that had been done by the state rather than by private companies, everybody would have had no problem seeing that that was unconstitutional and unlawful. But
right.
Because so many of the abuses were done by private actors, that is to say, Silicon Valley companies, major media institutions, and not done by government, they were technically legal. Plus, Democrats managed to change the voting laws in many states during the course of the election using the pandemic. as the pretext or the reason. And as a result, a lot of things that would have been illegal or impermissible in previous years suddenly became allowable and actually encouraged, like having drop boxes in random places where you could stick your ballot. That was certainly not done in a lot of the states that did it for the first time in 2020. So the Democrats were successful in changing the rules of the game in the middle of the game. And I think that had a more profound effect on the election than anything that people are looking for when it comes to videos of vote counting or Dominion voting machines or any of that stuff, because that is very, very hard to figure out. We see irregularities in some of those stories, and there's evidence that some things were done improperly, but we don't have proof of voter fraud on that level. But what I do in the book is I try to zoom out and say, look, you're feeling that something's really wrong about this election, and you're right. There was a lot that was really wrong about this. You may be looking in the wrong place if you're looking at changing ballots in a Dominion ballot counting machine or somebody pushing a green button somewhere. I mean, that's not going to explain the hundreds of thousands of votes that went a different way than people expected. But I think what does explain a lot of this election is the bigger picture and how the rules were changed, how censorship happened in an election really for the first time, and how there was political violence in the country that was endorsed by the left. All these things combined to make this a very unfree and unfair election.
Joel Pollack is our guest. You can get his brand new book. It's called Neither Free Nor Fair, available for Kindle, the 2020 U.S. presidential election. You can check it out at Amazon. You can also follow him at Breitbart News. He is a senior editor at large, and he can be followed on Twitter at Joel Pollack. Joel, in our final few moments together, what do you think the best path forward is for President Trump? We've been spending a lot of time today talking about Senator Josh Hawley joining members in the House of Representatives who will stand up on behalf of President Trump on January the 6th, a week from today. We also know that there are a few lawsuits, a few things that are still pending. But what should be the path forward for the president moving into January?
Honestly, I think that Donald Trump needs to think about how best to defend his legacy. So the most important immediate priority has to be to help the Republicans win those two Georgia Senate seats, because if Democrats retake the Senate, they can undo a lot of what he did in government in a very short period of time. But I also think he needs to think about how he wants to go out. And does he want to go out as having fought this the whole way, or does he want to take action that could help preserve his legacy? I think he's got to think about some way to concede gracefully, even if he still maintains that he was robbed, and in many ways he was. I think he has to think about the future beyond his presidency, and there's a lot to celebrate in that presidency, many achievements, but he has to make sure that they last.
Yeah, legally stolen is the case that is being made by Joel Pollack. I like that. All right. Get his book right now. It's called Neither Free Nor Fair, the 2020 U.S. presidential election. Follow him on Twitter at Joel Pollack and check him out. Senior editor at large at Breitbart.com. Joel, happy new year to you. More up ahead. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka. This is America First.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Carr Firearms.
Welcome back to America First. I'm Jennifer Horn in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Thanks for hanging out with me today and for sticking with us all year long here on America First. You know, we are heading into the home stretch of 2020, which is a year I think we can all agree most of us would be happy to see come to an end. But before the year ends, at midnight this Thursday, are you ready? That's the deadline. Seb asked me to remind you that there is still time to score a great year-end tax deduction while at the same time helping bring positive change to the lives of boys and girls who, through no fault of their own, have a mom or dad in prison. That makes them more likely to end up in sketchy neighborhoods near gangs, drugs, and other dangers. But that's where our friends at Prison Fellowship work miracles. Whether it's through their just completed Angel Tree Christmas campaign or their Angel Tree sports clinics or the awesome Angel Tree summer camps, a donation from you in any amount can literally change the life of an at-risk child. And right now, when you go to SebGorka.com and click on the Angel Tree banner, you'll receive that year-end tax deduction I told you about. It is a classic win-win situation. It's getting late, but there's still time between now and December 31st, this Thursday, to help the ongoing year-round work of prison fellowship and score a solid year-end tax deduction for any amount you donate at sebgorka.com. Or you can phone your gift to 888-206-2794. So before you forget, please go right now to sebgorka.com, click on the Angel Tree banner, and we thank you for being so generous and getting a year-end tax deduction in addition to your generosity. All right. Real Clear Politics has a story that is out right now, and it's been picked up and really thrown around a lot to the Federalist. Other news sites have picked this one up, and it's about the top 10 most buried media stories of the year. If you're playing along, what would be yours? 833-33-GORKA, if you want to call 833-33-GORKA. We have one line open. Obviously, I think for me, with the greatest impact has to be the Hunter Biden story. When you have numbers that have come out that have said 47% of people who voted for Joe Biden did not even know about the story of Hunter Biden, I think that's it's a big deal. And it means something. And it happened in the advance of a presidential election. And I think that that counts. But that's not their number one on the list, actually. It's number two. Number one on the list is election fraud. Now, I think we've heard a lot about it. We've been talking a lot about it on talk radio. We're still talking about it 2 months almost after the presidential election. But they say that it turned out that everything that happened in 2020 before November 3rd was just a prologue for the greatest deception in American history, namely the hijacking of a presidential election through means both legal and illegal. Most importantly, they say every state that changed its election procedures without the consent of its legislature violated the U.S. Constitution. And that's why Republicans, as we know, and we've heard Senator Josh Hawley and Mo Brooks, many others in the House of Representatives, will stand up and fight back against the results from the Electoral College on January the 6th. Now, it got me thinking. So immediately I think to myself, okay, it's the Hunter Biden story. But when I read this in election fraud, I think to myself, this is absolutely it. It was one of those moments. Because think about all of the lawsuits, all of the things that led up to changing all of the election laws that really impacted how votes were collected, how votes were counted, all because of COVID-19 in the advance and the lead up to the presidential election. And you will see how we legally made room for lots of voter irregularities at the least. I think voter fraud at probably at the worst part of this situation. So is election fraud the most unreported story of the year, even though it feels like we've been talking about it a lot? And I think in advance of the election, I think they get it absolutely right. This is a story right now, Real Clear Politics. I'll tweet it out at Jennifer Horn, written by Frank Mealy. And also on his list, just for fun, is the mysterious mutating lockdown. Hydroxychloroquine, that was one of the buried stories of the year. Trump's vaccine victory, of course, Hunter Biden's laptop at number two, and then number one, election fraud. You can check out that full list. There's 10 of these items that he wrote about in advance of the end of the year, looking into 2021. All right, a few of your phone calls now, 833-33-GORKA. We're talking about buried news stories and the fight ahead. Dan is in Minnesota on line three. Hi, Dan. You're on America First. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka. Go ahead.
Thank you. You know what? I'm just going to be honest. It makes my blood boil when guys like Joel Pollack say that our president should concede to the most crooked, criminal, cheating, lying. He's wanted in the Ukraine, I understand, for a felony. Joe Biden can't even get security clearance. The rules, Joel Pollack were not changed. They were broken by the Democrat Party. All of us conservative Christians out here by the millions know it, that our president won in a landslide. And to concede to this crooked, we'll never have an honest election in America afterwards if we don't stop it.
Yeah, Dan, I agree with you. And I disagree with Joel. I don't think it's time for President Trump to give up. We've come this far. I think we have to stay, and I think we have to fight. And I think that there is some room for difference in the Republican Party. I think people who are definitely more traditional would like to see President Trump just kind of bow out. But I'm with you. I think if he does now, I think we never talk about this again. I think we don't have
get elected again.
We don't have free and fair elections moving forward. So
never,
I thank you for
we
that.
Never will. Yeah.
Thank you for the phone call, Dan, calling from Minnesota. A few more of your phone calls. We'll squeeze them in next, 833-33-GORKA. We talk about some of these theories about what President Trump should do moving into January. Also, some of these buried stories of the year. Real Clear Politics saying it was election fraud at the number one position. 833-33-GORKA. Your call's next. Randy in Texas on line four. Hi, Randy.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I think there's nothing more. I'm tired of hearing people call into shows and saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. There's nothing more speaks to America, to God, family, and country than the American flag. The flag is not being flown like it used to. I think there's a start. On January 6th, every red-blooded American that believes in this country should fly a flag. I think
I like
we need
that.
To do it on Veterans Day. I think we need to do it on July
All right.
4th.
We will. We'll get those flags going. We'll remember your calls. I promise you. You heard this just a minute ago. 833-33-GORKA. Jennifer Horn in for Seb Gorka on America First.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very proud to introduce our guest host for today, Jennifer Horn.
Thank you, Seb Gorka. It is so much fun being here. Love filling in for you. Love it even more when you're here. And thank you all for joining us. Happy New Year from all of us here at America First. Want to remind you, Carr Firearms Group is proud to sponsor this segment. Carr Arms, Magnum Research, and Auto Ordnance. Carr Firearms Group, a family of brands defending your family's freedom. All right. Before we sign off today, I want to give you a little bit of good news. This is a strange one, but Antifa members in Portland, Oregon, they recently decided to take their efforts off the streets and onto the pitch. They have started their own soccer league. That's right. It's a new group called Antifa FC or Football Club. They posted on Instagram this week announcing their plans for a four-team league of seven or nine comrades, of course. Depending on interest level, the inaugural match is set to take place today, actually, 6 p.m. today, right about now, in Dunway Field in the Pacific Northwest. So how about that? Maybe there is a holiday miracle here after all. Antifa leaving the streets, the occupation zones, and moving to the soccer field. So strange. Betsy in Texas. Hi, Betsy. On line five, you're on America First.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'll talk fast.
Okay.
I have been so discouraged when I hear people say, including you, sweet Jennifer, that at least we're going to be discussing it now. We got robbed. We have been, our president has been stolen. And it's like, okay, you get robbed, right? You get some burglar breaks into your house, takes your stuff. You call the police. Hey, I want my stuff back. Well, let's just discuss it. No, I want my stuff back. Well, you need to really reinforce your home so this doesn't happen again. You know, we'll make sure next time that they're not going to be able to steal a ballot. No, I want my president back.
Yeah, Betsy, I love your passion, and I hope that you hear in my voice that I want him back too. And I am furious about this. And I do think that there was a lot of play. And I think to some extent, Joel Pollack was right. Some of it was done legally, but I think there was also a lot done illegally. And I think they targeted the president. They used COVID-19 to their benefit. And I do believe that this election was stolen. But what I will tell you is that regardless of the outcome, whether or not President Trump sits in that office or not, he is here to lead the party in the right direction. We just have to follow. We have to listen to what he's telling us. We have to listen to what our hearts know happened, and we have to fight back, and we have to start locally and go up from there. So take that fight, take that passion, and I appreciate it. I get it. I totally understand your frustration. All right. Thank you all for listening. I want to tell you Happy New Year from all of us here at America First, from Seb and from Jeff and Eric Shad. We wish you all a very safe, happy, healthy, and prosperous 2021. And thank you so much for joining me. I'm Jennifer Horn. This has been America First.